Today I'd like us to consider together Psalm 136. Would you turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures to Psalm 136? O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for His mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for His mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for His mercy endures forever, a heritage to Israel His servant, for His mercy endures forever, who remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for His mercy endures forever, who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of heaven, and please join me, for His mercy endures forever. Father, we thank You for this litany of praise about Your great mercy, Your great love. Thank You that You will open our hearts in fresh ways this morning to experience the greatness of Your presence, of Your love that never fails. In Yeshua's name, amen. You know a psalm that relates to this psalm that we just sang before this, the message. So this will ring over and over in your hearts this week and hopefully be a great encouragement to you. This is a great psalm. It's called the Great Hallel, a great praise. And it is a song that we sing often at Passover, declaring the Lord's great love. And of course, the word mercy in our text is that wonderful word hesed, which indicates so much more than simply mercy. It indicates God's loving kindness. It indicates God's faithfulness. It indicates God's covenant love, His love that He has set upon us because of His character, because of who He is, that it is His very nature to reach out in love and to express that love to us and to establish a relationship with us, not based on who we are, but based on who He is. And He invites us into that covenant relationship. Well, let's go through this psalm. 26 times he said, for His mercy or His love endures forever. And literally, it really reads, forever His love, forever His hesed. Endures is supplied and understood, but really the focus is on forever God's love. That's a powerful statement of the character of our God, and a great encouragement to us to know that even though there are many things in our lives and in our world that are changing, the love of God stands fast from everlasting to everlasting. So the writer of this psalm invites us to give thanks to the Lord. And at the very heart of the character of God is His goodness. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And that means that the love of God flows out of a good God. That love and goodness go together. It's good to know that the love of God is good love. It's always concerned with our very best, our blessing and our benefit, what will be genuinely good for us. And then the next phrase is, O give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. There is no one higher than our God. There is no other God but our God. There are those that people treat as gods, but they are no gods at all. And God is above all that would claim to be God. He alone is God. And He is the Lord. He is Adonai. He is the sovereign of all. He is the Lord of all lords. All authority and all power is His. And that means that His love is also a sovereign love, higher than any other thing in all the world. And then in verse 4, to Him who alone does great wonders, for His love endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His love endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His love endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His love endures forever. This love that God has for us is wonder-working love. It is wise love. I love to think of God's creation, and we have often talked about that before. I love to consider all of God's creation, which is so rich and lavish here in the greater Vancouver area. I love to look at the trees that we have often talked about, and the flowers, and the intricacies of what God has made. And one of the things that brings up to my mind is the understanding and the wisdom of God. That the intricate intertwinings, that you and I, as we breathe, we expel carbon dioxide. And the trees and the plants around us need that to live. And they absorb the carbon dioxide and create oxygen. And there are so many other little things like that that show the wisdom and the understanding of God and the way that He has put together the created universe. Jeremiah writes about this on a couple of occasions. That prophet who was speaking to God's people when they had disobeyed and were continuing to disobey as the Babylonian Empire began to press in. And Jeremiah's message was, turn. And then when the people refused to turn, Jeremiah's message was that you will be taken off into captivity, and there you should go. There you will be blessed. And the people continued to rebel. But interlaced in that message, those messages of God's judgment, were statements of God's power and understanding. In Jeremiah 10, verse 12, Jeremiah said, He, God, has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at His discretion. And then towards the end of his book, in chapter 51 and verse 15, Jeremiah says this, God has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heavens by His understanding. Whenever you and I look at the created universe, we are seeing the picture of God's love that is wise and filled with understanding. He put it all together. And what a great encouragement that is, because my life often feels very chaotic. I have trouble keeping things together. You should see my office. Some people would say it's a mess. I had a friend who had a little plaque on his desk, and it said, "A messy desk is a sign of genius." So I choose to go with that. But I have trouble keeping things together. And so when I feel like my life is flying apart, it's such a wonderful encouragement to come and look at the creation, to see all that God has made and to know that He has put it together, not haphazardly, not by accident, but by deliberate and divine wisdom and understanding, with love being at the very core. God has put our world together, and His world reveals that He is wise and that He is understanding. And certainly, if He can handle the universe, He can handle your life and my life too, and all the things that we have that come into our lives. Of course, I love to look at the heavens. And with these sunny days that we had through the month of July, it was wonderful to look into the night skies from time to time and be able to see the stars. Such a display of God's glory. Isaiah wrote about this, about God being enthroned even above the circle of the earth in the heavens. "Have you not known," Isaiah writes in chapter 40, "have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in." When you and I see the moon and the sun during the day that lights the day, that makes things grow and gives life, and we see the moon at night that guides the tides, and we've seen it more brightly these last several days, and we see the stars, we recognize God has stretched out the heavens as if He was putting a curtain up, as if He was putting a tent up. That's how great and how big our God is. And then Shaul, in his letter to the Colossians, in that wonderful passage talking about Yeshua, he says, "For by Yeshua, by Him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, whether they're visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Yeshua and for Yeshua, for God." We were made by God, for God. We were made by a personal God who's at the very core love, with wisdom and understanding. And then God didn't just set the universe in motion and set our lives in motion and go off just to hang out somewhere. But God is right now intimately involved in the sustaining of our lives. Shaul continues, "And He, Yeshua, is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Yeshua is the glue of the universe. He is holding us together right now. Do you realize that we are held together by the very Word of God? And if God would stop speaking His Word this morning, you and I would all fly apart. He is right here with us, the Creator, with wise love and understanding love. He has made our lives. And whenever we look at the sun and the moon and the stars, whenever we look at the heavens and the earth that He has made, it's a memorial. As we looked at the stones of memorial that our brother James mentioned, creation is a memorial to remind us of God's understanding and wisdom and love and His ability to take care of our lives, that He is intimately involved with us right now. Whatever we might be going through, whatever difficulties we face, God can handle it. God can help us. He has the understanding. He has the wisdom to show us the way forward and to help us in whatever our time of need. And then the psalm writer goes on to become more specific. He has talked about the evidence of God's love in creation. And now he gets specific to the way God worked in rescuing and redeeming His people. In verse 10, "To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for His mercy endures forever. to him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. God's love is a powerful love. God's love is expressed in a strong hand and an outstretched arm. When Yeshua was healing people, the religious leaders of his day came and accused him of doing his works of power through the devil. And he challenged that. And he said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And how would that be possible for the devil to be fighting against himself? That's just not reasonable. Then he said, but if I heal and cast out demons by the finger of God, then who do your religious leaders cast them out by? But know for certain that the kingdom of God has come among you. Yeshua spoke that just by the finger of God, he had power over the evil spirits, power over disease and over death. Just by a mere finger, he could execute his power and execute rescue. It is powerful love. I love the image that God gave to John in the book of Revelation in chapter 5, that John has the heavenly vision and he sees the God, the Father, seated on the throne of the universe. And the Father has a scroll in his hand. And an angel is looking for someone to open that scroll. And that scroll represents the unfolding of world history according to the plan and purpose of God. And no one was found, no human being, no one in heaven, on earth, in the sea, under the earth. And then the Lion of the tribe of Judah came forward, and he was ready to open the scroll and able to open it. And he took the scroll from the hand of the King of the universe, the Father, the God and Father of us all. And he was the one who could open the scroll. And when John turned to look at this lion, he thought he would see a lion. What did he see? He saw a little lamb as if it had been slain. Yeshua, who gave his life as a lamb, as a sacrifice for us, did that out of love. Powerful love is the strongest. This is the strongest love in all the universe. It is sacrificial love. Yeshua laying down his life for us. And this text highlights also that this love is a righteous and holy love. There are times in Scripture where it says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 10 could be a troubling verse for us. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. God struck the firstborn of the Egyptians. And then later it says that he destroyed their army. What kind of God is this? And we come to see that our God is a righteous and holy God. You see, God came to rescue his people from the terrible bondage of Egypt. And in doing so, he spoke to the Egyptian nation. Why were there 10 plagues? Because his love endures forever. He gave the Egyptians every opportunity to turn and spoke to them over and over and over again. But you see, God does come to a place where he must execute his righteous judgment. Saul, in his letter to the Romans, writes about this great love of God that is righteous and holy. And he begins his letter about the gospel. And then in verse 18 of chapter 1 of Romans, Saul writes this: for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Aren't you glad God is that way? Aren't you glad that God is committed to what is right and just? That God's love is not a wishy-washy jellyfish kind of love. God's love has backbone. God's love has strength. It is righteous and holy love. And God has wrath against what is ruining our lives. It's a tender mercy that God is a God of wrath. You and I, when we think of anger or wrath, we can't help but think of our own fallenness and the times when I've lost my temper and I've yelled and I've said things I shouldn't have said and done things I shouldn't have done and perhaps kicked things I shouldn't have kicked or thrown things I shouldn't have thrown. But God's anger and wrath is never like that. It is always measured. The scripture says he is slow to wrath, slow to anger. But he is committed to our well-being. He is committed to the well-being of the human race. And therefore, he is wrathful against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And there are times when he says, this far and no further. There is a limit to how far things can go. But this is the glorious mystery of the holy and righteous love of God. After two chapters almost in Shaul's letter to the Romans of elaborating on our fallenness and our brokenness and our deserving the wrath of God, then Shaul comes to chapter 3 of Romans. This is a glorious chapter. In verse 19, here is the beginning of something that is wonderful. In verse 19, Shaul writes, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, that's a great, great verse. Great, great words. But now, we are fallen, and there is no hope for us. We can't earn or deserve our standing with God. We can't get out from under his wrath. We have done only what deserves his wrath in our lives. We can't fulfill the law. The law says do, and we can't do it. We don't have the strength. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The whole Tanakh speaks of this righteousness that is a gift. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Yeshua Mashiach to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Yeshua. That's a mouthful, isn't it? What is God saying? He is saying that what you and I could not do, he has done. In Yeshua, in Yeshua's perfect life of intimate fellowship with the Father, and the fact that Yeshua lived righteously every moment of his life, in every thought, in every deed, in every word, in every attitude, Yeshua lived righteously. And then, out of love, Yeshua gave his life on that execution stake. And now he offers that righteousness to any who would believe. You and I cannot keep the law. The law is not bad. It shows us the character of God. It just simply has no power to enable us to keep it. The law says do, Yeshua says done. That is the glory of His righteous and holy love, that God's wrath is appropriately against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, but it is God who puts the wrath on His Son so that you and I don't have to bear that wrath. That is the glory of God, that He can be just as well as the justifier. The pictures in this text are absolutely overwhelming. That propitiation word, particularly. What on earth is propitiation? It sounds so archaic, but basically it means that God in Yeshua, by His death on the cross, has taken the wrath that was due us and put it on Him so that you and I will never, ever experience the wrath of God when we are in Yeshua. We are covered by His blood. The angel of death passes over us and will not touch us because we are covered with the blood of Yeshua. That is what propitiation means. A price paid that averts the wrath of God and satisfies His wrath. So God is a holy and righteous God, and it is holy and righteous love that He has for us, that He can justify us, that He can legally declare us righteous and in right standing with Himself by the death of His Son on the cross and offer that righteousness to us. So in that little statement back in Psalm 136, to Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, there is tucked away all of this glorious reality that God's wrath is against all ungodliness, and all who would not turn will have to experience that wrath. But none need experience it, because any who would turn and look to Him in faith can receive rescue and freedom. This righteous and holy love is for us, a strong love. And then this holy love is, as we see here, brought out in verse 11, and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, who divided the Red Sea in two and brought them out. It is rescuing love, that God rescues us. The picture in Romans 3, redemption, is the picture here. This is redemption. Redemption is the payment of a price to rescue a person out of slavery. The payment of the price, that God paid the price to rescue you and I out of our slavery. We have been enslaved to ourselves. Haven't you felt that? Even as a person who is in Yeshua, there are times the very thing I don't want to do, that's what I do. And the very thing I want to do because it's the will of God, that I don't do. That is what Yeshua came to redeem us from, to purchase us out of our own fallenness, out of bondage to ourself, so that, thanks be to God, through Yeshua, He gives us the victory so that we don't have to keep doing that. That sure, there are times when we stumble and fall, but more and more and more as we walk with Yeshua, He is helping us live life in the Spirit so that we fulfill the desires of God and the desires of the Spirit. This is rescuing love. It is redeeming love, that He purchased us from bondage to the evil one, and He's purchased us from bondage to this world system in which we live that would press God to the margins and completely out of life. That we have been rescued from bondage at every level. The children of Israel were brought out of Egypt with a strong hand, an outstretched arm, with great love. They were rescued. And the picture here coming through the Red Sea, the real word there for coming through the Red Sea, for God parting the Red Sea, that He divided the Red Sea, it really should read that He cut it in two. It's just like a hot knife through butter. God cut through the Red Sea and parted it for his people. And then when it comes to the terrible army that came after them, that it says that, but overthrew, that God overthrew Pharaoh and his army. And that word overthrow means God simply, it was like shaking the dust off of his foot, that he shook the dust out of his garment. It was like he shook the whole army into the Red Sea and destroyed them. Without a shot being fired, without a sword being raised, God defeated the enemies of his people and totally rescued them in his rescuing love. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. And so the Lord overthrew, the Lord shook out the Egyptians in the midst of the sea and brought his people out of the cruel bondage to slavery. That remains forever as we celebrate Pesach every year. And every time we celebrate Sudah, the Lord's table, we remember this great deliverance that God has wrought in love on our behalf. Whatever you and I face in our life, whatever bondages we might have, God's love is rescuing love. God can rescue us from the situations that bind us, from ourselves, from circumstances around our life. God can intervene. But please also remember that it is God's timing. It is wise and understanding love. As we've said before, God is never late, but he's also seldom early. And sometimes it feels like he's waiting way too long. But if we could see things from his perspective, that he is wisely and with understanding working our rescue in just the right way, at just the right time. These people had been in Egypt for years and years and years, and they'd been crying out to God, and it felt like God didn't care. But when God came to Moses, he said, "I am concerned for my people. I've heard their cry, and I have come to rescue them." So when God is slow and seems quiet and silent, come back to this psalm. Review what God has done and remember that he loves us, that his rescuing love is at work, and that he will rescue us at just the right time, in just the right way. And then, in verse 16, one statement to talk about 40 years. "To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever." One simple statement, the picture of God's guiding love. The people rebelled against him. And yet, every step of the way through that wilderness, God guided them. At the end of the time, Moses would remind them that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. They had food to eat every day. Whenever there was no water, God provided it, even though it came right down to the last minute. God guided his people every step of the way through the wilderness. It is guiding love that God has for us. I was asking my wife about this, and I said, "Can you think of what would be a great picture of God's guiding love?" And she immediately said, "The Holy Spirit." God gives us himself to live in us, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Whenever you and I trust Yeshua, he comes in to us, and he is the one who will remind us of everything that God said to us, and he will lead us into all truth. He is the counselor, just like Yeshua. He is the advocate. He is the one who encourages us. He is the one called alongside to help. We have God in us every day to give us guidance. And he will remind us. They say when you get older, three things start to go. Your mind, and I can't remember what the other two things are. So how precious it is that the Holy Spirit is there to remind us, because he never forgets. He never loses his mind. He always remembers, and he is there to help us and to show us the way. Yeshua himself said, I am the way. So guidance, loving guidance is in a person. God, you know, sometimes you and I, haven't we asked God for guidance? And we want God to show us the whole thing. I've had somebody say to me and help me to see, you know, if God gave us the roadmap for our whole life, we'd run off and try to do it on our own. So in his wisdom, he guides us. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We can see the next step. There are times, occasions when he may give us a distant view and help us to see a far-off vision or what he might be doing. But generally, God's going to guide us a step at a time because he delights in the fellowship more than telling us where to go. He delights in the intimacy of the relationship. He wants us to be intimate and close to him. And therefore, his guidance is step by step, and it's personal. His Spirit living in us guides us. Through the wilderness, God guided them. Through our wildernesses, God will guide us. And then in verse 17, to him who struck down great kings, his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his love endures forever, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. His love is a providing love. He provided conquering ability over these great kings. He had authority. He is the Lord of lords. And he conquered each of these kings. And not just these. These are representative of all the kings that he conquered in taking his people into the land of promise, into the land of Israel. And he gave it to them. How important that is for us to remember in our day. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, when we pray for the people of Israel, we are recognizing that God will work in the land by our prayers. It will be God who gives the land to his people. Of course, we know that it is a dangerous thing to parcel out the land because it is only God's right to do so. But we trust not in political forces, not in armies. We trust in the Lord to keep his word. God established his covenant with Abraham. And he said, it's an everlasting covenant. And he said, I will give the land to you and to your descendants. And so God made a promise. God's reputation is at stake in what's happening in our world. And you and I can pray with confidence that he, in time, will give all the land that he promised to his people Israel. And all the world will know that he is the true and living God and that Yeshua is indeed the Messiah. While we wait, we can be reminded that God will provide. God will provide a place for us to live. God will provide food for us to eat. God will provide clothes for us to wear. Whatever our need is, God will provide according to his timing and understanding. And then, as we come to the conclusion, as the psalmist comes to the conclusion of this psalm, verse 23, that God remembered us in our lowly state. Isn't that a great blessing? God notices the lowly. Who did he pick to be the mother of his son? It was Miriam, a peasant girl. There's reason to believe that her and Joseph were not wealthy at all because of the sacrifice they gave when they took Yeshua to dedicate him. Two turtle doves. That was the sacrifice of the poor. God picked a humble, lowly person to be the mother and the stepfather of his son. God picked Zechariah and Elizabeth, these faithful priests, faithful descendants of Aaron, this faithful priest and his wife who had lived a long life in the ways of God but were barren and childless. God looked through history and noticed them, and God brought the precursor, the forerunner to Messiah through them. And it's a great encouragement to us that God sees the lowly. God sees the brokenhearted. God sees us in our pain. And it says God saves such as have a contrite spirit. When our circumstances bring us low, when it seems like I've done things that have messed things up, and I think, well, God could never help me, we come to this and say, God remembers those who are lowly. And that brings great, great joy and encouragement. Throughout Scripture, you notice God picks the humble and the weak and the things that are not to accomplish His good purposes so that all the glory will go to Him. And then He rescues us from our enemies, and He gives food to all flesh. Yeshua helps us see that God's love is a generous, gracious love. Yeshua, in His Sermon on the Mount, talked about the Scripture saying, love your enemies, but He says, I tell you, or love your neighbor, but He says, I tell you, love your enemies, because I give rain to the just and the unjust. Every day, God is providing food across our planet to people who don't acknowledge Him. To all flesh, God gives food. Sure, there are pockets of places that are in dire need, but God ultimately is the one who is giving food to all flesh. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Him. He is a generous and gracious God, gracious in His love. And therefore, we can come to the very conclusion, as the psalm began, so it ends. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven for His mercy, His steadfast love, forever. Forever His love. Jeremiah, in the midst of speaking words of judgment, God gave him a beautiful, beautiful statement. The Lord has appeared of old, saying to me, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. May God help us meditate day and night on the fact that His love never fails. His love endures forever. And therefore, regardless of our circumstances, what we're going through, what we're experiencing, we can give thanks to the God of heaven. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we give You praise that You, at the very core of Your being, are love, that You are holy and righteous love, that You are rescuing love and powerful love, that You are guiding love and wise and understanding love, that You are humble and gracious love. We praise You, Father, that we have not even scratched the surface of how wonderful Your love is. Father, for all of us, may this day from Your hand be a fresh touch upon us of Your love. May You help us by Your Spirit to know how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love You have for us. And in knowing that love, that we would be filled with all Your fullness. Remind us of this day after day after day. And then, Father, well up within us gratitude. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Yeshua, who has opened Your love to us. Thank You for being our God. Thank You for giving us life and hope and Your presence forever. In Yeshua's name, amen.